and the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. Dad, you know we'll have a good
Everybody has day. One. I've got one, a great one, by the way. He had one, and his daddy before him. Fatherhood. Oh, there's a lot of conversation in the church nowadays about Christian fatherhood, becoming a better Christian father, becoming a true Christian father, living up to your life as a father to your children. Lots of advice out there. Can't say that the advice itself is necessarily wrong. A lot of it mines through the Bible, trying to find Bible passages, examples, principles for fatherhood. So much of it misses the essential nature of fatherhood, especially when we start with the father rather than my father, your father, or his father. When we start with the father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's where the conversation needs to begin when we talk about Christ-centered fatherhood. And that's where we're going to begin with Pastor David Shaddy. I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. As we talk about Christian fatherhood, feel free to join us. 877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. Pastor David Shaddy is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Indianapolis, and he conducts seminars titled The Gospel and the Christian Family. He's a regular guest. Pastor Shaddy, welcome back.
Thanks so much. Great to hear your voice.
You say that we need to talk about fatherhood as Christians in light of the cross to begin with. Why do we need to do that?
Because God does. We have to understand that we get our definition of father from God. He doesn't refer to himself as father so that we compare him to us. He refers to himself as father because that's what he is. He is father. And when we talk about being children of God, you know, some people, you ask them, well, how is it that you're a child of God? Well, God made me. But that's not the group of people who God talks about in the Scriptures as being children of God. He talks about believers as being children of God, and not primarily as people being children of God simply because he made them. And for example, in Galatians chapter 4, he says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. God has adopted us as his children. He has paid the price that we might be children of God, and that price was Jesus Christ on the cross. So we are God's children, not primarily because he made us, but because he has sent his Son to redeem us.
So it begins with the cross. Explain this passage to me, Pastor Shaddy. It comes from Ephesians chapter 3, and it's one that people often gloss over simply because it seems... Oh, it seems unremarkable, except when you examine it. Verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom all fatherhood in heaven and on earth is named. What is Paul saying there?
Well, he is the one who has named the saints, and the saints of God, he has marked the saints and made them his family, and has made them his family again by his grace through faith in Jesus Christ. That our respect, our honor, our love, all the things that we give to our Heavenly Father, we give because of how he is a father to us. And the primary thing that he has done as a father to us is to make us his own through the blood of Jesus Christ.
So when we utter that word father in the Lord's Prayer, it shouldn't just be the guy who made me or the big man upstairs or that deity out there who is in some way comparable to the guy I grew up with in the house, but in fact, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who sent the Savior for me.
Absolutely. You know, I think to a certain extent, we have a tendency in the Lord's Prayer to make our Heavenly Father somewhat impersonal, and he is nothing of the kind. He so loved us that he sent his one and only Son. His whole purpose after the fall and the sin was to make us his children. We had been born his children, had been made his children, and we had run away. It's sort of like the parable that Jesus tells of the loving father and the prodigal son. you know, we had left. We had abandoned this wondrous inheritance that God had given us by His grace in paradise and had run away. And recognizing our sinfulness and recognizing that we do not deserve to be children of God, come back to God simply, you know, under law to serve Him as He would have that. But what does that father do? He sees that son from afar off and runs out to meet him, and he places on him the robe of and he places the ring on his finger and kills the fatted calf. He bestows this heap, this mound of blessings upon this son of his who has come back in repentance. This is our Heavenly Father. He's not this impersonal guy who stands off and says, oh, well, you know, they ran away, so they ran away. He runs out to greet us. He places the robe of His righteousness on us by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. He places on our hand the ring whereby He has bonded Himself to us and made us His heirs, and He bestows every blessing of heaven and earth.
Is this why Jesus, especially in I'm thinking about John's gospel, but also throughout all of the gospels, when He opens His mouth to speak, as often as not, is talking about His Father, not about Himself or not about here is how you ought to live in this fallen world. He talks about His Father.
Yeah, and the fascinating part about that is so often in those references, He is reminding them that when they see Him, they see the Father. That the mission He has is the mission that was given to Him by the Father. That the love He has is the love that was bestowed on Him by the Father. You know, so in essence, He is, you know, in the beginning of the Gospel of John, it says, no one has ever seen God. And the Greek text says, but the only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, He has made Him known. And this is the thing. We come to know the Father through Jesus Christ. Martin Luther used to refer to the Father as the veiled majesty, that guy behind the cloud that we couldn't see. He has come out from behind the veil in the person of Jesus Christ and has demonstrated who He is by Jesus' death for us on the cross.
Then let's talk a little bit about earthly fathers, or the kind of fathers we're more familiar with in our everyday life, especially fathers who are Christians. What is the highest and most important duty that God has given to earthly fathers?
To raise their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And that, by the word fear, I'm not talking about, you know, crouch in the corner and shake. I'm talking about the awe, the reverence that comes from seeing what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. You know, the reverence that we owe God. So often we think of the glory of God as being the fact that He is seated on this majestic throne and He has, you know, this essence in heaven that is so magnificent and glorious. And that's our view of God's glory, but it's not God's. God considers the greatest moment of His glory to be the moment when Jesus died on the cross to glorify us. So we as fathers want to fill our children's lives with the grace of God, to give them a proper understanding of who God is. And you know, one of the callings that we have as fathers is to show our Heavenly Father to our children, not just to fulfill our responsibilities, you know, to provide food, to provide shelter, to provide this, to provide that, but to lead in the household by our love for them and to make it very apparent that we love and are devoted to the Word of God because that comes down from our Heavenly Father. And as an earthly father, I have the privilege to share that wonderful Word with my children. As an earthly father, I have the privilege to provide food, shelter, whatever, for my children in the same love with which God sent Jesus Christ into the world.
Pastor Shaddy, with about a minute and a half, the Christian, the kind of stereotypical Christian teaching on fatherhood is usually something like, you're the head of the household. And most of the time, they don't get that so wrong. But sometimes it's presented as though, look, you're in charge. You can't show any weakness, which would preclude Christian fathers from doing something like confessing that they have sinned before their children or confessing their sins to their children or their wife, for that matter. should a Christian father confess his sins?
Oh, absolutely. It's part of his headship and part of his leadership. One of the things that I as a father have to make very clear to my children is that while I, in faith, am attempting to demonstrate to them our Heavenly Father by my behavior to them, I don't always do it. I sin. And I need God's forgiveness, and I need their forgiveness in those moments. And the reality of God's mercy and grace, the reality of our loving Heavenly Father, is that forgiveness is available to the dad as well as to the kids.
So this is really, in a sense, being when we talk about Christian or Christ-centered fatherhood, we're talking about nothing other than what the Christian life looks like on a daily basis, dying to sin through repentance and being raised again by that forgiveness of sins that flows from the cross of Jesus Christ, whether you're father, son, daughter, or wife. About 30 seconds.
Yeah. Children learn primarily from what they see in their parents. Boy, if we could, by our lives, teach them repentance and faith, what an incredible gift to bestow on our kids.
You ever thought about that, fathers? That one of your primary duties as you raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord is not just to, we use that word, model repentance before your children, but to, in fact, repent. Not just before your children, but repent to them so that they, as your Christian brothers and sisters and your children, can give you the forgiveness that is yours in Christ. Be right back.
Bits of paper.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30. And find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
Issues Etc. is a team effort. Your phone calls, email, and snail mail help resurrect this worldwide outreach. Now we need your help to sustain Issues Etc. by making a gift to Lutheran Public Radio today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Help support Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the thinking Christian.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
In the debate on euthanasia and assisted suicide, often pro-euthanasia advocates express a desire for a good quality of life. This is an ethic that has been adopted by many bioethicists, healthcare professionals, and even some legislators. When the U.S. Supreme Court legalized abortion on demand in 1973, pro-lifers warned that abortion would lead to infanticide and euthanasia. Dismissed as doomsday prophets, we have unfortunately been proven right. This has been a perspective on life from National Right to Life. For more information, visit our website, www.nrlc.org.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio.
I tap my fingers on the table to the rhythm in my soul, and I jingle the car keys when I'm ready to go. When I look in the mirror, he's right there in my eyes, staring back at me, and I realize the older I get, the more I can see.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor David Chatty is our guest. We're talking about Christ-centered fatherhood. As I said at the beginning of the hour, everybody has one, but not everybody necessarily has a good father. We'll have to talk about that before our conversation ends. Bad father versus heavenly father. Now, you can read an article that Pastor Chatty has written on the subject of fatherhood under the on-demand section of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Click on demand, scroll down, you'll find this article by Pastor David Shaddy on fatherhood. So we have fathers who are doing their best. My experience, Pastor Shaddy, is especially at this time, this particular time in my life, I'm seeing far less of my children than I want to. I mean, we're restarting a radio program. It means long, long days, and it's hard to feel like you're doing the father thing adequately when your job requires that much of you. Speak to that issue, if you would.
Well, that's always the challenge that we dads face. You know, as a parish pastor, my children have spent their entire life under the realization that when the phone rings, dad leaves. That might be in the middle of their birthday party. And that's always been a real part of our lives. The demands of the parish are like the demands of so many men's jobs. Significant demands, and there I think, you know, you make the sacrifices necessary to provide for your kids, because this is your calling from God. You know, we have various callings in life, one of which is to provide for our families, and so that's a very important thing, and I think we need to communicate with our kids. You know, Dad does this as part of my calling from God to be your father, as our Heavenly Father has provided. So now I am working to try to provide for you. And yet at the same time, you know, I think there is also the sacrificial aspect of seeing when and where possible how one can arrange schedules and so forth to be there for some of the things that take place in our children's lives, and to be there to the greatest extent we can in a lot of those moments. I remember my dad, the company that he worked for was bought out by a major corporation when I was probably fifth or sixth grade. And for the next 5 or 6 years, my dad probably worked 75 to 80 hours a week getting things squared away in terms of that transition. But if we had some program at school, we were singing or in a play or whatever we were doing, I looked out there and there was my dad. Now, sometimes that meant he went in at 5 o'clock in the morning to make sure that he had his work done. But, you know, I saw in my dad that he was attempting to make the sacrifices to do those kinds of things for me. And you know, that's the thing that we dads need to attempt to do for our kids, and also to try to instill into our kids this sense of responsibility that says, you know, there are going to be times when I can't be here, and the reason I can't be here is because of my calling from God to be the provider and to do the things that are necessary for you. You know, one of the things that, I come from a very German background, and you know, all of my family are very hardworking people. It was instilled into us that this is part of our service to God, to be very hardworking people. And I think, you know, we're living in a day and age where it's a somewhat unique thing, but an important thing to give our children perspective and to say, you know, I will be here when I humanly can be here to do the things that I need to do to be a blessing to you. But when I'm not here, that's also for your blessing, and those responsibilities are things that you're going to experience in your life, and you're going to have to fulfill your responsibilities in life as I am doing that on your behalf now.
You use the term sacrifice several times, Pastor Shaddy, and it puts me in mind of Ephesians chapter 5. Now, the context there speaks more to husbands and wives, but it's hard not to hear it speaking also from fathers to their children. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Are those words that do equally apply to fathers and their kids? Love your children as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her?
Oh, very clearly. Everything that we have in the scriptures regarding fatherhood is sacrificial, you know, in words that very closely follow those. You know, fathers, raise your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up, you know, in the training and admonition of the Lord. This is sacrificial. You know, it is sacrificial to take the time to teach God's word to children. It is sacrificial also in the sense that, you know, let's be very honest. A lot of dads in this day and age feel uncomfortable teaching the word to their children because they're not sure they're going to be able to answer the questions that their children may have. You know, it is sacrificial in the sense that dad now has to be prepared with the word and prepared to teach his children, which means he has to be in the word, and that too is a sacrificial thing. The easy path in parenthood is to just let kids do what they want. The sacrificial thing is to make boundaries and so forth that will be a blessing to those kids and to enforce those boundaries. Those are all sacrificial things we do as parents.
What would you say to somebody who says, I have a hard time relating to the Heavenly Father because of my earthly father? My earthly father perhaps abandoned or abused me.
Well, I have had this, very honestly. I had a gal in one of my parishes, one of my past parishes, who asked me, is it okay if I don't think of God as my father because my father was a very abusive person? And my answer was, don't blame God for your dad. Please understand what God means when he uses the term father, and that has nothing to do with the guy whose house you grew up in. That the way your dad treated you was the antithesis of what a father is, because it's the antithesis of what God is. You know, and that's, you know, one of the things that I don't think we realize is that in practicing fatherhood as a reflection of our Heavenly Father, we're confessing our faith. We are confessing, this is who I know God to be. And the contrary is then a false confession of who God is. And you know, the abusive situation in a very understandable circumstance that term father is then associated with that kind of behavior. But that's not who God is. That is a false confession. And what we need to do as husbands and fathers, and particularly in this context, fathers, is to recognize the way I react to my children and the way I treat my children and the way I fulfill my responsibilities in love for my children is not just living up to what God says, or not even just living up to what God is. It's a confession of my faith.
Finally then, Pastor Shaddy, is it a good thing for fathers to remember in a Christian household that their wife and their children are in fact also their Christian sisters and brothers? 30 seconds.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the relationship of the husband and father in the home is very similar to that I have the privilege to share as a pastor of this congregation. These are not just the flock of whom I am the under-shepherd. These are my brothers and sisters in Christ. These are my fellow Christians. And it's the same way in the house. These are my fellow Christians. And I have the privilege, as God has given me that privilege, to bless them with the word, to bring them to church, to the word and the sacraments, to continue that ministry of the word as I share the word with them during the week, to put them in contact with the means by which the Holy Spirit will build up and strengthen their faith, to show them by the Spirit at work in me that I understand who God is by the way I treat them, that it is about creating, by God's grace, an environment in which these children can grow in grace, and that comes from providing them with the things that have been provided to me by my Heavenly Father.
Pastor David Shaddy is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Indianapolis. He conducts seminars titled The Gospel and the Christian Family. Be sure to read an article on fatherhood written by our guest, Pastor David Shaddy, under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Issuesetc.org. Click on demand. You'll find this article right there for your reading pleasure. Pastor Shaddy, thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd. God bless you and your audience.
As Jesus nears his crucifixion, he comes down to brass tacks with his disciples, and he's starting to talk about going away and returning to the Father, and one of his disciples finally blurts it out, Jesus has talked incessantly about the Father all through the years that they've been with him. One of them finally says, "Show us the Father." Jesus' response is curious. He says, "Have I been with you so long and you still don't know me? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." Where does Jesus show us the Father? Really show us the true Heavenly Father? When he lays down his life for us at the cross and takes it up again in his resurrection. If you've seen that, you've seen the Father. I'm Todd Wilkin.
Good afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.